Okay, today's daf is Pesach Davav. Today's shiur is sponsored by Elisha Graf in honor of my brother, Rabbi Avi Leibowitz Shlita. We thank Elisha again for the sponsorship. In today's daf, we're going to discuss the following topics. First, we're going to discuss whether animals or dough that's designated for a king's tax is considered to belong to the Jew or is considered to belong to the king. Obvious ramifications for halachas of chametz, but also for the halachas of the chiyuv b'chor and the chiyuv chalev. If it belongs to me, I'm chayvin b'chor. If it does not belong to me, it belongs to a guy, there is no chiyuv b'chor, there is no chiyuv chala. Then the Gemara is going to discuss cases in which a Jew is responsible for chametz that belongs to a non-Jew. And at the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to get into the major sugya. We're going to learn the halacha that one only has to start concerning himself with chametz 30 days before Pesach, which leads directly into a discussion of shol and v'dorshim b'hilchos chag laban yom kodem achag. That is Pesach m'davav. That is the primary sugya in Shas for that concept. And that's going to lead directly into the psukim that we use are going to lead directly into a discussion of chronology of the Torah. Ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah, which is also, this is what one of the primary sugyas for Ein muktam, the primary sugya for Ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah. I'm going to try to constrain myself not to say too much till we get to that point, so we'll have time for that. The daf will then conclude with the discussion of why somebody who has done bedikas chametz is still required to do Bitul Chametz. So let's pick up where we left off. Amar Mar, the first wide line on Daf Hey Amud Beis. Amar Mar, Yachal Yatmin. So we had a long braisa on Hey Amud Beis yesterday. So now the Gemara is just going to ask what seems like a simple stira within the braisa. Amar Mar, Yachal Yatmin vi Kabel Piktonos min Anachrim. Tamal Amar La Yimatzei. On the one hand, the braisa says that I might think that you could hide your chametz or be mekabel pikadon, accept a pikadon to watch from a guy. That's why it says lo yimatze, that no, you're not allowed to do that. To take a guy's chametz in your property is not okay. But hamret reisha, but the braisa had just said a few lines earlier, shalachay ataroa, aval ataroa shalachayrim v'shal gavoa, that you're not allowed to have your own chametz, but you are allowed to have chametz shel achirim, which we define as chametz of a guy. So the braisa on the one end says you cannot be mekabel pikadon from a guy. On the other end says you can have chametz of a guy. Says Mar Lo Kasha, had the kabbal aleichrayis, had the lo kabbal aleichrayis. It all depends whether you're mekabel achrayis for it. If you took responsibility for it, it's a problem. You're not allowed to have it. If you did not take responsibility for it, it's no problem. Then you can have the chametz of a guy. Ki had Amar Lo Rava lebnei Machuza, just like Rava told the bnei Machuza, the people of Machuza, beiru chamira de bnei chila mi bataychu, get rid of the chametz of these soldiers from your house. Kivan di ilu migna vi ilu mitvid berishu saich. Because if it were to get stolen or lost, it would be in your rishus, it would be isul shlumei, and you would be responsible for paying for it. Kidul chundami, that makes it yours. So what makes it yours? The fact that you have achrayus for it. The fact that if it were taken from you, you would have to pay it back. Va'aser, therefore it's going to be aser. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Honey, chalamad yamar davar garam lamamun kamamundami. This idea that the fact that if it were stolen from me, I would have to pay it back, makes it mine, works very well if you assume generally that davar garam lamamun is kamamundami, that something that can cause me to have to pay money is considered as if it's money, as if it's my money already. So the fact that I could have to pay as a result of losing this food makes it as if it's my food. That would work very well. But what if you generally hold that something that's only gorim lamamon, something that will cause me to have to pay, does not make it mine? Then why should the fact that I'll have to pay for this chametz make it my chametz and make it my problem? Says Gemara, because we have a special pasuk over here. Shaini hacha da'amar lo yimatzei. That's the chiddush of the words lo yimatzei. Special pasuk teach me that it becomes my problem. Says the Gemara, ikada amri. So others have the whole discussion flipped on its head. That honey chalman yam dovar garam lamamun lav kamamun dami haynu di itzurich lo yimatzei. If you say dovar garam lamamun is lav kamamun dami, so then I understand why I need a pasuk of lo yimatzei to tell me that even though normally the fact that I'm responsible for something doesn't make it mine, over here it's still going to make it mine. By chametz it's going to be different. But if you hold davar agarim lamamon is kamamon dami, why do I need the extra phrase lo yimatzei? What's it coming to add? What's it coming to teach me? This is just a reflection of the din that we have in kol ha-Torah kula, that when I bear responsibility for something, it makes it mine. Why do I need an extra phrase of lo yimatzei over here? So it says the Gemara, itzrich, you do need the extra extra phrase. Salka Daita Chamina, Hol Vchi Isei Hadar Be'enei Lav Bereshusei Kai Kamash Mulan. I would have thought that since if it doesn't get lost or stolen, if I still have it, if I still have the actual food, I have to give that food and I'm not allowed to replace it with other food, I would think that means that it's not really mine. And therefore, I'm not chayiv for an Pesach. So Kamash Mulan, the fact that if it were to get lost or stolen, I would have to replace it, makes it mine. Even though if it doesn't get lost or stolen, I would have to give this exact bit of food. So that's how we deal with yesterday's brisa. Now says Gemara, a new issue. Bar minei me rava. Behemer sarnuna. Chayevus bebuchora, awein chayevus bebuchora. Let's say you have an animal that is designated to pay the king's animal tax. There was a certain amount of animals, a percentage of the animals in your flock that you have to give to the king. So you have this animal designated to go to paying the king's tax for animals. So are you chayev in bechora? The halach is a firstborn of any behemoth tahora has kedusha to it. So do you have to treat it with kedushas bechor? This halach even bizman hazeh. When you have Jewish farmers, what they typically do is if they have a behema mivakeres, if they have an animal that's about to have firstborn, they'll sell the animal to a guy so that that it won't be chayiv bechor. They won't have to worry about the dinei bechor. They do it just like they would do a mechiras chametz. You sell it to a guy with all the normal kinyanim that we would do by Mechiras Chametz, and that's how we get around the problem. But if it's owned by a Jew, it's Taka Chayiv in Bechora. So is this considered to be owned by a Jew or not? If you could pay the king off with money, he's not going to be machban and taking the animal, he just wants the value of the animal, then certainly it's still considered your animal, it's going to be Chayiv in Bechora, because the king has no claim on the animal, the king only has claim on money. The whole shaila is, what if the king is makbid, he dafka wants the animal, he doesn't want money? So may, then what's the din? So I'm a little patura. So he said, then it's going to be pata from b'chor, because then it's the king's animal, you just happen to have it in your property. V'atanya chayevis, aye, but there's a brisa that says that it's chayev b'chorah. No, that price is talking about in a case where you're able to pay him off with money. If you're able to pay him off with the money, then the taka is chayiv. But if you're not able to pay him off with the money, you're pater. Igada Amri, others have the conversation as follows. Amar Rava, behema sarnuna, petura mina bechora. A behema sarnuna is pater, the behema that's designated for the king's tax, is pater from bechora. That's straight out that it's pater. The af al gav de matzi mesalikle. Even though you could pay money instead of giving the animal, it's still not considered yours. It's considered to belong to the king and your potter. Isa sarnuna. But if you have dough that's designated to go to the king's tax, chayeves bechala. The dough is going to be chayev in chala. V'afal gav de lo matzi mesalikle. And that's true. Even if you can't pay him off with money, still it's going to be considered. To be chayev in chala. It's going to be considered to be your dough. Even if the king insists on taking the dough itself. My taima, what's the difference between dough and a behema? Behema is lakala, isa less lakala. Whereas everybody knows if an animal is designated for the king, and people might not realize that the dough is designated for the king, they'll assume a Jew is eating the dough without being mafresh chala, and therefore we're more careful to always be mafresh chala from the dough, whether it's designated for the king or not, because of sort of a maris ha'ayin type of issue. But by the behema, there's no such concern. A behema is isa lakala. Everyone knows where the animal is designated for. Tan Rabbana, new brisa. Nachri shenichnas chatzer. We're going to have three cases in this brisa of a guy's chametz in your house. Case number one: Nachri shenichnas chatzer shal Yisrael b'tzeiko biyado ein zakuk levar. A guy walks in to your house and he happens to be holding a sandwich, so you don't have to take your blowtorch and burn it out of his hand. You don't have to destroy the chametz that he's holding in your house. Hifkido etzlo, but if he asks you to watch his chametz for him and you bear responsibility to watch it, zakuk levar, then you do need to destroy the chametz. Yichid lo bayis, what if it's somewhere in between? You're not watching it, but he didn't just happen to bring it into your house. You designated a spot in your house where you tell him you want to keep your chametz, keep it in that spot, in that corner of the house. So then ein zakuk levar, you do not have to destroy it. Shenemar lo yimatzei, because the pasuk says you cannot have chametz found in your house. So says my kamar, wait a second, you just told me adin that you don't have to destroy it, that you're allowed to leave it there. How can you quote a pasuk of lo yimatzei to tell me that you're allowed to leave it there? How does the pasuk connect to the halacha? So Rav Papa says no, it doesn't connect to the halacha. halacha we just said, it connects to the previous halacha. Aresha kai v'achi kamar. It's going back on halacha number 2, not on halacha number 3. And it means to say as follows, hifkido etzlo, zokuk levar, shenemar, lo yimatzei, that if it's given to you as a pikadon, you do have to destroy it. How do I know? Because the pasuk says, lo yimatzei. Lo yimatzei is where I know that if you have responsibility for it, you have to destroy it. Ravashi amar li olam ha-sefer kai. Ravashi says, no, it's going on halacha number 3, it's going on this last halacha, that if you're yichid lo bayis, you don't have to destroy it, and we learn it from the pasuk lo yimatzei. V'achi kamar, this is how to understand the drasha. Yichid lo bayis ein zakuk levar, shenemar lo yimatzei, what's the next word? Bivateichem. But it's not from the words lo yimatzei. A lot of times when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it's really the v'chulei in the pasuk that we're dashening from. So that's what's going on over here. It's not from the words lo yimatzei, it's from the next word. Pasuk says lo yimatzei bivateichem. V'hal lavdi dehu. Denachri ki kamayil. Lebesi denafshi kamayil. This part of your house is now no longer considered your house because you designated it for the guy to keep his chametz. And therefore when the guy comes in, he's going into his own house. So the fact that the guy has reshus in that room of your house, that corner of your house, that makes it the guy's house, and therefore it's not a violation of lo yimatzei bivateichem. So says the Gemara, wait a second, just because I give him a spot in my house that he's allowed to use, that makes it his? L'meimra d'schiras kanya? Do you mean to say that anytime someone is socher reshus, someone rents out an area, that if he's kona that area? V'atnan, we have a Mishnah, af b'makom shamru lahaskir lo lebeis dira amru, mibnei shemach nisim l'tocho, avodah zarah, that even if in a place where you're allowed to rent out to a guy, you're not allowed to rent out for him to use as a residence, as a place to live, because we assume that he's going to bring avodah zarah into the house that he's renting. If you hold that schiris makes it his, what do you mean? What do I care that he brings avodah zarah into the house that he's renting? Let him bring whatever avodah zarah he wants into the house that he's renting. It's his house. It's not my house anyway. What do I care? So you can bring whatever chametz he wants if you hold schirus kanya. So says Gemara, no. Shaini hacha davke rachmana b'lashon lo yimatzei. Misha matzah biyadcha yotzezeh sheinu matzah biyadcha. No, the fact that the Torah specifically in the context of chametz uses the phrase lo yimatzei tells me that the geder is a little bit different. That granted, enochinami, normally when I rent out a property to somebody else, the property does not belong to that other person. It belongs to me still, it belongs to the landlord, it does not belong to the tenant. But dafka, when it comes to chametz, it's only if it's matzu biyadcha, if I have direct control over the area, that it's going to be a problem. It's a kula to say lo yimatzei. If I don't have direct control over the area, because there's a tenant who lives there, so I no longer exert direct control over the area, so then it's not going to be my problem anymore. The chametz that is in that area is not going to be my problem, and that's why when I'm yichid lo bayis, when I designate a spot for him to keep his chametz in the house, that's not my problem anymore. I don't have a requirement to destroy that chametz. What if you have a situation where a person finds chametz in his house on Yontif? This does come up every once in a while. Person with bedik or with beer or with the spring cleaning, with everything that was done. I often say that sometimes with the spring cleaning, someone said, what's pshat in Nashim Atzlonio saying? The Tosa said the other day, women, we know women will work much, much harder. I said, yeah, they pick up the cookie, they wipe underneath all the dirt to clean it off, and they put the cookie back down sometimes. Meaning if you're not focused on chametz, you're focused on other things that aren't chametz, so then a lot of times you're gonna leave chametz over. Again, it comes up once in a while. Today's shiur is sponsored in honor of my brother. My brother once had a situation. We were at my parents' house, and we had the Pesach cereal. We were feeding all the kids, and my brother looked at the cereal box and he said, "This cereal looks very good for Pesach cereal." And he looks at the ingredient. It was some from brand. And he looks at the ingredients. The cornstarch. Oh my gosh, it's kidneys. Wheat flour. Oh my gosh, that's chametz. It turns out the from brands make cereal all year round. We didn't know. It was on the Pesach shelf. My mother bought it. So good. So what do? You find chametz in your house on Pesach, on Yontif. So kofal of a sakli. So if it's Yontif, if it's not Chol HaMoed, it's Mamish Yontif. So kofal of a sakli. You should put a kli over it. Amar Rava, im shal hegdish hu einot sarich. If it's hegdish, you don't have to put a kli over it to protect you from coming to eat it, because hegdish you're used to, my taima, mivdil bedilimine. Because by hegdish you're used to keeping away from it, so you don't need any extra reminders years, you're in the habit already of staying away from Hegdish. Vam Rav Yudah Merav. Rav Yudah Merav also says, Chemtzo shel nachri also lo mechitza asara tfachim. If you have a chametz of a guy in your house, so you should build a mechitza 10 tfachim tall, again, to remind you not to take mechametz, mishum heker, to recognize, to realize that you're not supposed to take it. Vim shel hegdishu eno tzarech. But if it's hegdish, then you don't need any sort of reminder. My taima, mivdal bedili in shiminei. Because a person is going to stay away from it anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. Now this halacha that if you find chametza belongs to you in your house, a kofel of is clear, it's only on yantif. Obviously, if you find on chol hamoed, so then you destroy it, then you burn it. But if you find on yantif, you can't burn on yantif. That's what we saw yesterday. So you have to be kofel of is akli. Good. Vam Rav Yudah Merav. Now new halacha. Hamefarish vayotzi b'shayar kodem shloshim yom ein zakel klevayer. Toch shloshim yom zakel klevayer. What if you leave your house before Pesach? Do you need to do bedika biur before you leave your house? So says Rabbi Domarav, it depends. It depends whether you leave within 30 days of Pesach or you leave more than 30 days before Pesach. If you leave within more than 30 days before Pesach, you have no responsibility to do bedika biur. If you leave within 30 days of Pesach, so then you do have a responsibility to do bedika biur. Amar Abaye, Hada Amar Tok Shoshim Yom Zakuk Levayer, Lo Amar Nel Shaddai Talachsar. That which we say you do have to do bedika biur before you leave within 30 days, that's only if you plan on returning in time for Pesach. Avlein da'it talachsar, but if you don't plan on returning on Pesach, ein zakuk levar, then who cares that you left within 30 days of Pesach? You're not going to be around anyway, so don't worry about it, you don't have to do biur chametz. Amalei Rava, Rava says, wait a second, v'dait talachsar, if you plan on coming back, afilim rosh hashanah nami, how does that halacha make sense? If I plan on coming back on Pesach, but I'm leaving more than 30 days before, I don't have to get rid of my chametz, so what's going to be when I come back and it's Pesach? So I'm going to have chametz all over the place. No, it can't be. Afilu mi Rosh Hashanah nami. Even if you leave as early as Rosh Hashanah, says Rava, you would have to get rid of your chametz. And what if you leave before Rosh Hashanah? So it sounds from Rava that if you leave before Rosh Hashanah, but you plan on coming back on Pesach, then it's no problem. Then you can leave your chametz around. Why is that okay if you leave before Rosh Hashanah? So the Beis Yosef writes in Siman Taf Lamed Vav that it sounds from Rava that before Rosh Hashanah, if you leave between Chodesh Nisan and Chodesh Tishrei, that even if it's Daito Lachzar, you don't have to be Bodek. But he says that's very strange. Why would that be the case? Rava's whole point is that we don't want you to be in the situation where you're back in the house and there's chametz around. So that's what the Beis Yosef explains. When Rava says Afilim Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah of Chodesh Tishrei. He doesn't mean the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. He means even from the beginning of the year, counting from Pesach. Meaning, even if it goes all the way back to last Pesach, it doesn't make a difference when you left. The Bach isn't convinced that that's what the words Rosh Hashanah mean. He just thinks that none of the Rishonim are goreis the words Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, none of them quote that line of Afilu Mi Rosh Hashanah. They just say it doesn't matter when you leave from. So the Bach says that they must have not had that girsa. The Beis Yosef says, no, they had the girsa, but it meant even from the previous Rosh Hashanah. So when they're quoting La Halacha, there was no point in mentioning Afilu Mi Rosh Hashanah. But bottom line is, Rava says it doesn't make any sense that you're going to leave 35 days before Pesach, plan on coming back on Pesach, and not have to do a single thing of a single stitch of work about your chametz, and you can come back and have all this chametz around. So Elam Rava, rather Rava suggests it's different. Hadam Rekodim Shoshim Yom Ein Zok Levayer. That which we say that with more than 30 days before Pesach, you don't have to get rid of anything. Lo Amren El Shein Daito Lachzor. That's only if you don't plan on coming back. Avol Daito Lachzor Afilu Mi Rosh Hashanah Zok Levayer. But if you do plan on coming back, then no matter how early you leave, you're still going to have to destroy the chametz. Va'azza Rava l'tamei, and this is Rava l'shita so that 30 days makes all the difference in the world. Da Amar Rava ha'osa beso otzer kodem shloshim yom ein zakuk levayer. If a person turns his house into a storage facility within 30 days, more than 30 days before Pesach, he does not have to get rid of the chametz, sweep out all the chametz, and destroy it before storing all the items in there. Once it's a storage facility, the chametz is going to be inaccessible to him. But tok shloshim yom zakuk levayer. Within 30 days of Pesach, he turns it into a storage facility. He does need to be mevar the chametz first. V'kodim shol shem yom nami la'amar and elashein daita lefnoso. And even this din, that more than 30 days before, that you don't have to get rid of the chametz first, that's only if you don't plan on clearing out the storage facility where the chametz is then going to be accessible to you. Aval daita lefnoso, but if you do plan on clearing it out in time for Pesach, or at some point on Pesach, then afilu kodem shloshim yom nami zakok levar. Then even if you turned it into a storage facility more than 30 days ago, you would certainly have to get rid of all the chametz, because you can't create a situation where you can have chametz in your house on Pesach. Period. So that's Rava's Shita through and through, whether it's about leaving your house before Yantav, or whether it's about turning the house into a storage facility. Now the Gemara says, the magic number over here seems to be 30 days. Whether you're like Rava, you don't know like Rava, something changes at the 30-day mark. Why is 30 days a magic number? What changes and what happens at 30 days? Hani Shloshim Yom, Maya Viditayu. Where did we come up with this number of Shloshim Yom? So Kiditanya, we have a Braisa. Shol and Vidorshin Behilchos HaPesach Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. That 30 days before Pesach, that's when a person has to start learning all of the halachos of Pesach, for 30 days in advance of Pesach. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Shtei Shabbosos. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't need 30 days. 2 weeks is good enough. It's plenty of time to learn all of Maseches Pesachim Aliba Dehilchasa, to learn and along with all the, right, we do it over a course of 4 months when we rush through it, but two weeks, plenty of time to chazer over the halachos of Pesach. So my time at the Tanakan, that's what they say when Rav Meir Shapiro started the Daf Yomi, and a lot of the Hasidish yeshivas, they were very upset. Only a daf a day? Are you kidding? You have to learn. It was just a daf a day. Okay. Anyway, my time is the Tana Kama. So what's the reason for the Tana Kama that it's daf going to be Shloshim Yom? Shari Moshe Omid Pesach Rishon Umazel Pesach Sheni. Where do we see Shloshim Yom from? Because Moshe Rabbeinu stood there on Pesach Rishon, and that's when he told Klal Yisrael about Pesach Sheni. So how long in advance did he teach Halachos of Pesach Sheni? 30 days. So we see that you have a din of 30 days. Shenamar Vayasu Bnei Yisrael Asa Pesach B'Moado. Pasuk says, "Vayasu Bnei Yisrael Asa Pesach B'Moado." Uksiv Vayhi Anashim Asher Hayu Tameim LeNefesh Adam. And the pasuk says a few pesukim later about Pesach Sheni. So it was around the time of Pesach Rishon that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructing about Pesach Sheni, because that's when the people who were tamei were upset that they didn't get to bring a Pesach Rishon. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them that there's going to be a second chance, there's going to be another opportunity. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says that there's only 2 weeks of Shalom Darshan? What's he going to do with that pasuk? It's pretty clear in the Torah that it was 30 days before Pesach Sheni, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching about Pesach Rishon. So Amalach, Aydi Dai, Rabbi Mila de Pischa, Masklu de Kol Mila de Pischa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say, no, the reason he taught about Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon is because they were learning Pesachim. So they're learning Pesachim before Pesach, so he's going to teach them all the halachos of Pesach, even the halachos of Pesach Sheni. Now there is a machlokus rishonim. What does it mean to be shol v'dorish lamid yom kodem achag? Rashi and Tosos both seem to assume. Tosos in Megillah Daf Dalet and Avodah Zarah Daf Hey. Rashi over here and in Daf Zayin and many other places both seem to say that the halacha is like it sounds, that you're supposed to create a curriculum of learning all the halachos of Pesach for 30 days in advance of Pesach. However, there is a significant group of rishonim. The Rambam, the Ritva, the Ran, there's a significant group of Rishonim that all hold that it has nothing to do with the curriculum in Limud. What it has to do with is Shoel Ki'inyin, that normally if a Talmud asks a question in middle of a Shir, or a Talmud asks a question of a Rebbe that's Shelo Ki'inyin, that's totally off topic, the Rebbe does not have a responsibility to respond to that question. But if the Rebbe if the Talmud poses a question within 30 days of Pesach about Pesach, then the Rebbe has a responsibility to be holding and to respond to that question. He's supposed to be holding in those in Yanim, and he has to respond to that question, which Luchora would mean that the Rebbe has a din of adjusting his curriculum in Limud to fit that he's going to learn Hilchos Pesach. But it's not a din that everybody, that in every Beis Medrash, that they have to start learning Hilchos Pesach, Lamed Yom, Kodem Achag. That's that sheet. Where does the Ran get that idea from? It doesn't sound that way. So number one, he gets from the word shoalin. It's shoalin v'darshin, that when are you doresh? Only when someone is shoel. It doesn't say darshin bilchsa pesach lamid yom kodem pesach. It's only a she'ela that creates the drisha of lamid yom. But also the hechrech, the Ran points out in Megillah Daf Dalet, is that it seems to be, and all the Rishonim ask this kasha, there seems to be a direct stira between our sugya and a gemara. Gemara in Maseches Megillah. In our sugya, the Gemara says that 30 days before Chag, we darshan Hilchos HaChag. The Gemara Megillah, however, says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakin for Klal Yisrael to be Dorish Hilchos Pesach BePesach, and Hilchos Shavuos BeShavuos, and Hilchos Sukkos BeSukkos. So it sounds like it's not a din in Shloshim Yom, it's a din in the Yontif itself, that you darshan those halachos on the Yontif itself. So the Ran solution is, big difference. When it comes to on the Yontif, you're supposed to learn the halachos of the Yontif. Everybody's supposed to learn it. When it comes to 30 days before, that's just about Shoel Ke'inyin. That's only about when a Rebbe asks, when a Talmud asks a Rebbe a question. Tosfos Megillah says, no, it's not a stira. There's a chiyuv to learn 30 days in advance. And then when the Yontif comes, you shouldn't say, okay, I'm finished now, I'll move on to the next thing. When the Yontif comes, you should continue to learn about the halachos. They're two separate takanos, and they're for two different reasons. The chiyuv to learn 30 days in advance so that you know what to do when the Yontif comes. The chiyuv to learn on the Yontif is that it's a appropriate on the Yontif, to be in the proper mood of the Yontif, to adjust your Talmud Torah to fit the Yontif as well, even though it's already too late to learn the halachos because it's already holding on the Yontif itself. Still, it's a separate inyan to learn in the Yontif itself. Now, the Beis Yosef is mitarets that before Pesach you have to learn the halachos that prepare you for Pesach that need to be done in advance. Hagalas kelim, bedikas chametz, afias hamatzos. You're going to sit down on the first night after the seder and open up a gemara and start to learn the halachos of baking matzos. So you're a little too late, or hagalas kelim, you're a little too late. That's got to be done shloshim yom kodem. But the halachos that are still nogeya on the yontif itself, that you learn on the yontif itself, it would turn out, according to that Mahalich, that for other Yomim Tovim, where there isn't that much to do in advance, where most of the halachos are about the Yom Tov itself, maybe there wouldn't be a din of Shol and Midarshin Kodem Achag by other Yom Tovim. That is a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Beis Yosef writes, when it comes to Shavuos and Sukkos, he says, it's totally different. Pesach has so many halachos. The whole Masecht of Pesachim is 120 blot long. There's so many. It's loaded with halachos of Pesach. Sukkah is 50 blot long, and Shavuos is 49 blot, but it's not about Shavuos. So you only have the Pesach has so many halachos. Takes so much longer to learn. When we were teaching Shavuos in yeshiva a few years ago, each of the rebbeim were saying what their goal is for the year. I want my guys to finish the whole Masecht. No shakel v'tari about that. One of the rebbeim from one of the shiurim that it's a little more labored, except I want my guys at the end of the year to know that it's not about the Yontif of Shavuos, that it's about something else. But because there are so many more halachos that are involved in Pesachim, so we it's only a din in Pesach, says Beis Yosef, not a din in Sukkos and Shavuos. However, there are achronim that disagree, that say that they have a riot from Rashi and Sukkah. Rashi and Sukkah, Daf Tesel Med Aleph, seems to say explicitly that there's a din of Shol and Vidarshim 30 days before Sukkos. This is a subject of the Bir Halacha at the very beginning of Chelek Hay of Mishnah Berurah. The first Bir Halacha discusses this inyan of Shol and Vidarshim, whether it applies to other Yom Tovim. Now, the Pnei Yeshua is Medayik from Tosfos Maseches Megillah, that even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that on every single Yontif, there's a din to be Shol Kodem HaChag for 30 days. So it turned out that you have to be Doresh Hilchos Rosh Hashanah already from Rosh Chodesh Elul, and from the 9th day of Elul to already be Doresh Hilchos Yom Kippur, from the 14th day of Elul, Hilchos Sukkah, he just is matmiya that he doesn't think that anyone does that. We don't find such a takana that people do that. Tosfos and Megillah says that you don't do it before Purim. By Purim, there's no din of Shol and Vidarshin before Purim. Now, what about is this a din d'oraisa? The Gemara is darshaning it from Pesukim. So the Meiri says that it's a zeichel davar. It's not a din d'oraisa. It's a takanas chachamim, and the drasha from Pesukim is only a smachta bialma. However, there is a group of achronim, the Bach and the Marsha, who assume like pashtus. It says it's from a pasuk, so it sounds like it's a din d'oraisa. Now, when do we start learning Hilchos Pesach? Shalom v'darshan lamid yom kodem achag. So Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tav Chav Tes, Shalom b'hilchos Pasach Kodem Pasach Shloshim Yom Mishabur Kotz from Achronim. Therefore, you begin on Purim. So on Purim, the one thing we have to, a lot of people have the minhag at the Purim Suda that they take out of Mishabur and they start learning Hilchos Pasach. Take out of Shulchan Aruch, start learning Hilchos Pasach at the Purim Suda. The Pri Chadash says that some say the Purim itself you should start learning, but Ein Adavar Kein. He doesn't think that that's the halacha. He thinks that it really means 29 days. The Chazal very often will round up when they talk about it. When they talk about a number, they'll round up by a day. So it's really 29 days. Really, you start the day after Purim. It can't be that on Purim we have a responsibility ready to start learning Hilchos Pesach. Okay, so that's the issue about Purim. Now, just parenthetically, the Gemara says, how do I know Shloshim Yom? Because Moshe was Omid bePesach Rishon and was Mazir in Pesach Sheni. So he quotes here in the Masifta from the Yalkut HaMi'iri. How could the Gemara quote the name of Moshe without calling him Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Halacha in Yerideas in Reish Mem Beis? You know, I'll let him mention the name of your Rebbe even Shalom B'fanav without the title Rabbeinu. And that's so the Gemara also says Moshe Talat Filaso B'schus HaCherim Talo Atzalo B'schus Atzma. The Gemara in Brachas says also calls him Moshe without Rabbeinu. How come it doesn't say Rabbeinu? So he quotes Yesh Mishatirates that Chazal tell us Gadol Me Rabban Shemo, that there are certain madrigos of godless that are described that you could tell by the toar, by the title of a person. So Rabban, for instance, is a greater title than Rebbe. Rebbe is greater than Rav. Rebbe indicates smicha. So you have Rav, Rebbe, Rabban, and then the ultimate, the highest title one can have is no name at all, is no title at all. Shammai, Hillel, someone just without a title at all. So the greatest thing is to call him Moshe without the Rabbeinu. Maybe that's the idea of Gadol Me Rabban Shmo. Rav Shecht used to say, they used to make fun of Rav Salvechik in yeshivas, they used to call him, in the other yeshivas, they used to call him JB. They didn't realize they were saying that he was greater than all the other Rosh Yeshiva, that Gadol Me Rabban Shmo, that he had such a title. Yeah, there's a good story about that, but not for a recording. So let's see weiter in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, my time with Rav Shmuel Gamliel, where does Rav Shmuel Gamliel get 2 weeks from? Where does he get the idea of 2 weeks? Shari Moshe Omid Rosh HaChodesh U'mazir El HaPesach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu stood on Rosh Chodesh and he was teaching them all about halachas of Pesach on Rosh Chodesh. And Emar, HaChodesh Zelechem Rosh Chodashim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaChodesh Zelechem Rosh Chodashim. And that is, and then, Uksiv, he starts telling them, take a sheep on the 10th day of Nisan and get it ready for the Korban Pesach. We mentioned when we started the Masechta that we start with the halachos of Bedikas Chametz because that's in chronology, that's the earliest thing you do. So Yonah asked me that it's not true that by Pesach, the Korban Pesach is the first thing that you do. The Korban Pesach, you have to already be mafrish on the 10th day of Nisan, so it's before Bedikas Chametz. A good kasha, I'm not sure. So anyway, so that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching. So Maidi Bereish Yarchakai Dilma Barba Biyarcha B'Chamisha Biyarchakai. How do I know that we're talking on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe it was the fourth day of the month or the 50th of the month. All Moshe Rabbeinu said was that this is the first month. How do I know when on the month he was saying that? Can you make the assumption that it was the first day of the month that he was telling them about the Korban Pesach? Ela Amar Rabbi Bar Simi Mishmei Ravina Mehacha Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Bin Bar Sinai Bashana Hashenis Bachodesh Harishon Uksi. Pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking b'chodesh harishon, so it must have been on Rosh Chodesh. Says Gemara, Hachinami, my debereish yarchakai, dimu barbar b'yarchak b'chamish b'yarchakai. How does that prove anything? How do you know that was on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe that was on some other day of the first month. So Amar of Nachum Yitzchak Asya Midbar Midbar Ksiv Hacha B'Midbar Sinai Uksiv Hasam Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe B'Midbar Sinai Bal Moed BeEchad LeChodesh Hasheni. That just like it's explicit in the pasuk at the very beginning, the very first pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, that it was on the first day of the month, even though that was talking about the second month. But when we talk about in Perek Tes, the first when we talk about the when it says Midbar in Perek Test and it talks about the first month, it must also be talking about the first day of that month. But says the Gemara, this is strange. The very first parak, the very first pasuk of Sefer Bamidbar talks about the first day of the second month. Then 8 prakim later, in the very first 9 prakim, in the very first pasuk in parak Test, talks about the first day of the first month. So the Torah is going backwards in time. So v'nichtav bereishit the chodesh rishon, v'ad v'nichtav the chodesh sheni. Why does the Torah do that? Shouldn't the Torah first have the chodesh rishon and then have chodesh sheni, then talk about the second month? So says Gemara, Amar Rav Menashe bar Tachlif, Mishmei D'Rav, Zos Omeres, Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah. This teaches us the klal that there is no chronology to the parshios of the Torah. That the parshios of the Torah, it's muchrach that they're out of, that they're not in chronological order. You have Bamidbar Perek Aleph talks about a month later than what happens in Bamidbar Perek Tes. So it's very clear that the Torah is not in chronological order. Question is, how far do we take that? When do we apply Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah? Anytime you have a kasha or anytime you want to say a vart, you could always just switch around things and say that it's Ein Mukta Mucher. So that's a major machlokas rishonim. Rashi seems to apply it fairly indiscriminately. That Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah all over the place. Ramban tries to limit it. Ramban says, no, Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah is when Chazal tell us Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah. When Chazal don't tell us Ein Mukta Mucher B'Torah, then we can't apply it. Ibn Ezra never wants to use it. Even when Chazal uses it, he always tries to come up with some sort of teretz. He is very, very hesitant to use this concept of Ein Muktam Umukhr B'Torah. But at least in this spot, it's Mukhrach Ein Muktam Umukhr B'Torah. I saw in the Masifta over here, he says the Hasidish Rebbes have a lot of Musr to learn from this phrase of Ein Muktam Umukhr B'Torah. Explained based on the Divrei Yisrael, he explains based on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos and Third Parak of Avos, Histakel B'Shlosh Dvarim V'yata Bali De'Averi. You look at three things, you won't come to sin. Me'ayin Basa. You look behind you where you came from, you look forward to where you're going to. And that's what the pasuk says, Achar v'kadam tzarasani, that you look behind you, you look ahead of you in time. That's what you have to look at, and if one doesn't want to sin. But the Gemara in Brachos says that what does a person do when he feels the Yetzirah is getting the best of him? So he should be Osek Petorah. If that doesn't work, so he should be Choshev Yom HaMisa. He should think about where he's going to end up in the Yom HaMisa. So he says, Ein Mukta Mu'u. If you learn Torah, then you won't have to. That's the preferred way of getting rid of the Yetzer. Then you won't have to look kadam va'achar. You won't have to look in ahead of you and behind you. There's no mukta mu'uchar. Obviously, that's very Hasidish. That's not the shot in the phrase, but it's a nice message anyway. Also, he says that a makdim lasuk b'Torah. If someone learns Torah when he's young, he shouldn't think that he has a sense of entitlement. And if he's ma'acher to learn Torah when he's older, he shouldn't be dejected that he's only coming to Torah later. Ein mukta mu'uchar b'Torah. Whenever you dedicate yourself to Torah, you're gonna find hatzlacha in Torah. There's obviously an advantage to learning earlier, but no reason to be a balgaiva about learning earlier, no reason to feel dejected about learning later. You should always come to Torah at the right time. Any time is the right time. It's always a good time to start the Daf Yomi. Pesachim Daf Zayin is a good time to start the Daf Yomi. It's always a good time. Good. Amar Rav Papa, Lo Amar El Betrei Inyani. When do we say in Mukta Mukhar B'Torah? That's when it's two different Inyanim. Within a single Indian, then what comes first, and what comes later. Then it is in chronological order. Because if you don't say that, then it will destroy the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben. Klalu Prat, Ein B'Klalu Mashar Prat, Dilma Prat U'Klalu. Anytime we dash on a Klalu Prat, you have a general term followed by a specific term, so we learn from that that the Klal only includes that specific item. But how do you know that it's a klal uprat at all? Maybe it's out of order and it's really a prat uklal. It's not a klal uprat. So you have to say that there's some say there. So ask Rav Elchanan, an obvious kasha. Ein mukta mukhar b'Torah doesn't mean that the psukim, where Hashem just took all the psukim, threw them up in the air and saw where they landed, and they were all just randomly arranged. Ein mukta mukhar b'Torah means that the Torah is not written in chronological order. It doesn't mean that it's completely random, that it's written in no order at all. There is some sort of logical order that the Torah is written in. It's just not, the order just happens not to be chronological. It happens to be based on some other thematic order or something. So klal uprat maybe is based on the way Hashem told Moshe to write the Torah. Moshe maybe didn't just get to choose, put whatever psukim you want wherever you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is the way it has to be written. So why does that destroy Klal Uprat? Maybe Klal Uprat is based on the way the Torah is written, not based on the chronology. That's all Ein Mukta Mukhar means. Bam Kasher of Chalin asks, Sinos Chafhei in Kovet Shurim. So he's metarates that you have to say that every mitzvah in Torah Shabbat was said to Moshe Rabbeinu together with all the Torah Shabbal Peh that came along with it, based on the Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben. So when we darshan the Klal Prat, we have to assume that it was said to Moshe before the commandment to write down the Torah. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu got that Torah Shebal Peh as he was receiving each parsha of the Torah. So if it had to have happened chronologically to have a Klal Prat because he received them chronologically, and then later he had to put it into writing. Kasha is better than the Teretz. It's a very, very strong Kasha. But anyway, says the Gemara. So that's the Hechrich that Ein Muktam Mukhar B'Torah has to be limited in some way. So it's limited to only within a single between parshios, but within a single parsha, there's always Muktam Umuchar B'Torah. Visu Pradu Klal Nasa Klal Mosval Prad Dilma Klal Pradu. It would be a problem in the reverse also. If you had a Pradu Klal, maybe it's really a Klal Prad. So obviously there's got to be some seder. So frankly, Mari Yachya feel betray in Yaninami. Then there should be seder even across different in Yanin. So says Gemara, Hani Chalaman Yama Klal Prad Muchak and Zemizah Ein Dan Nosa B'Klal Prad Shapir. If you hold that we can't use a Klal Prad across different in Yanin, if the Klal and Prad are distant from each other, so then I understand that there doesn't have to be order across multiple inyanim. El mandiyam are done in ma'ikal meimar. But if you could say klal prat, if you allowed a darshan klal prat even across different inyanim, so then what do you do about ein muktam mukhar b'torah? It's got to be in order. How come it's not in order? Says Gemara, if mandiyam are done in hani mila b'chad inyana, av l'trei inyanim ein done in. Even if you say that you could be done a klal prat that are meruchak in zemizah, that are distant from each other, they can't be across different inyanim. They could be somewhat distant. They don't have to be right next to each other. They could be a couple psukim away, but they can't be in a totally different parsha about a totally different inyan. That far away, they're not allowed to be. There is a discussion, the Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin that in Daf Mem Hei, that if someone is chayv skila, so they would take him to the base of skila, which was two stories high, and one of the Edom would push him off of the cliff, and if he didn't die from the fall, then they would throw a rock on him. So where do we get this from? Because the pasuk says that someone who touches the har by Maimon Har Sinai, kisakol yisakel o yira yiyare. So the Gemara Darshan's yare yiyare means throwing him, and sakol yisakel means throwing a rock on him. So the Rishonim all asked the Kasha, wait a second. And it says first Sakol Yisakel, and then Yaro Yire. So why do we throw him off the cliff and then throw the rock on him? So according to our sugya, there is Muktam Uchar B'Torah within a single inyan. So we should say that it has to go dafka in that order. So some of the Rishonim say that since you find in the Torah that the word skila is right next to the word misa uskaltem ba'avanim v'mesu in Dvarim Perek Yitzayin, so that's megala to us that the skila has to be the final thing that makes him die. That's the same. That the skila is the last thing before misa. Rabbeinu Yonah Sanhedrin just says, no, the Torah has to mean that you push him before the skila, because after the skila, he wouldn't be able to stand up to push him. It just doesn't. It's physically impossible. And besides, says the Yad Ramah, what are you going to do? Push him off and then pick him back up, bring him back up the cliff, and then throw a rock at him? I'm sorry, you're gonna throw a rock at him on the cliff, which is gonna knock him over, and then pick him up and bring him back onto the cliff. So you could push him off? That doesn't make sense, so it's just logically incompatible. That's how most of the Rishonim say. Rabbi Dom Rav says as follows, Habodik Sarek Sheyevatel, someone who does B'dikas Chamit still has to do Bittel Chamit. My time, the Gemara says two possible reasons. Number one, Inei Mishum Pirurin, maybe you can say it's because of the crumbs, you need to get rid of all the crumbs. Well, halo chashivi, they're not chashiv enough to have to worry about. V'chitem akivim demintelu agav beisei chashivi, and if you're going to say, no, but you have an alarm system on your house that protects your china and your valuable electronic devices and your jewelry and your crumbs. It's all guarded in your house. So maybe that itself makes it chashuv. V'atan, you have a brice that says that, no, something that's incidentally guarded because there are other things that I'm guarding, that doesn't make it chashuv. So if it's the end of the season in my field where te'enim are growing, so the te'enim aren't good anymore, but I'm still guarding the field because of the grapes that are growing there. Or or it's the end of the grape season, but I'm still guarding my field for the melons and the gourds that are growing there. Only if I'm makbid on the bad stuff is it also to steal it and it's a chayv and meiser. But if I'm not makbid on
on it at all, mutar mishum gezel, mutar mishum meiser. So then it's mutar mishum gezel, it's not even mine at all, it's not chashav at all, it's absolutely worthless to me. So bottom line is, you see, crumbs don't become worth something just because you have an alarm system and a lock on your house. You're not guarding your crumbs, you're guarding everything else. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, here's why someone who does bedika still has to do bittel. We're afraid you're going to find a nice piece of chametz and you're going to have in mind to take it. So it says Gmar, but when you find it, why don't you just do bittel then? No, we're afraid you're going to find it after the Zman Isser, and then it's too late to do bittel. Because there are two things that you may still have in your ownership, but because of the Torah takes it out of your ownership over here, because of the Isser, the Torah takes it out of your ownership, and you no longer have the right to do bittel. What are those two things? Ve'eluhain, barber shasarabim, v'chametz mishei shalos l'mayla. A barber shasarabim, the Torah takes out of your, the Torah makes it, I'm sorry, it's not in your rishus, but the Torah makes it ki'ilu it's in your rishus, only for the sake of the Isra. I said it backwards. It's not in your Rishus, but for the sake of the Isra, the Torah considers it as if it is yours. So I could be Mevatel my Chametz. It's not mine, but the Torah will make it as if it's mine anyway. I dig a bar by Rishus Ram. I don't own the street. It's a Rishus Ram. I dug a bar right in the middle of the street. I don't own it. No, the Torah makes it Ki'ilu. I own it vis-a-vis the fact that I'm going to be Chayiv in any Hezek that that comes about in that bar. Okay, we'll stop there. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from the Talibah Arba tomorrow.